Blog Talk Radio.
Great afternoon. Today is September 1st. My name is Kimberly Silas. I will be your host on this afternoon to our first of the month segment, Your Health is Your Wealth, The Power of Controlling Emotions. As co-host with me today, I have the amazing Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr., as well as my guest co-host, Ms. Mama Mary Williams. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I will co-host with y'all right now.
Absolutely. Before we jump into today's segment, I just want to say blessings and love to you both. And I wanted to take an opportunity to acknowledge all of the families impacted in our Houston area. Our prayers, our hearts, our efforts go out to you. Although we are separated by distance, the unity is real, and our commitment and our prayer is for their complete and full wholehearted restoration. So we can certainly understand how the adversity and impact that this particular storm has had on the community, and we just want to say that we are a community of believers and shakers. We move and make things happen. So with that being said, I just want to say blessings to our Houston family and friends. And today we chose to come out with the power of controlling emotions. Now you ask, how does this impact your health and your wealth? And it brought us to the question, are you generationally damaged? Not necessarily damage to the degree of ill repair, but damage to the idea that you are acting on old belief systems that are generating no positive yield. It is not okay. In order to pursue your dreams or accomplish any goal, you must learn first to be loving and nurturing to yourself. And that is where we are on today, is learning to master the emotions. If we master the emotions, we can consciously think better, do better, execute better, and therefore living better. It innately ties into your health and your wealth. Now, you must do the work. You must be willing to commit to replacing a new behavior, an old behavior with a new behavior, or a set of behaviors with a new set of behaviors, and learning to be disciplined and cultivate your body, mind, and spirit takes a commitment, and it takes consistency. If you want a new future, you must make different choices today. I heard this from a very, very, very close friend, and it was so incredibly impacting that I scribbled it down and I began to study on this, because he said, with or without any effort on your part, you are creating your history or legacy by the choices that you make today. And I said, that is so incredibly profound. Whether I make an effort or whether I don't make an effort, everything that I do right now is creating a history where...
That's right.
Yeah, I'm creating history where they'll go back and they'll say, Kim was a saver, Kim was an investor, Kim was a planner, she was an organizer, or I will be the complete opposite. What is the legacy that I'm leaving my family by the choices that I make or I don't make? Will I leave them in debt? Will I leave them in surplus? Will I leave them in poor health? Or will I have inspired them to better improve their lives? Whatever I do or what I don't do is creating history or legacy for the people that I love the most. And I say this every week, and I'm back at that point again. It is about accountability. Responsibility is knowing that the situation belongs to you. Accountability means that I am going to take the measures necessary to change these circumstances. And we fall right back into accountability week after week after week. Am I willing to do the work? And moving forward and controlling your emotions, I want to share with you a quick story, because I always speak on setting healthy habits, Dr. Dunlap, and replacing one habit for another. But let me share with you what happened. I learned that anger, and this is so cool right here. Learning how to break it down to third grade math is just amazing to me. But I learned that anger is an outward expression of hurt, pain, fear, or frustration. So when someone angers you, it is not necessarily that person or their actions that anger you. It is because you are either hurt in that area, you are pained in that area, you are in fear of that particular situation, or some under a hidden fear, or either you're just flat out frustrated. So before you go to the expression of anger, ask yourself, am I hurt? Am I in pain? Am I in fear? Or am I frustrated? Learning to control your emotions. So I've been practicing that. I've been practicing to, instead of, Dr. Dunlap, we spoke on this yesterday, am I responding or reacting? You know, so I've been practicing. And I want to share this quick story with you guys, because I really, really, really have an inner passion for God to move through me. This is just for me. I'm not trying to sway anybody's spiritual or religious beliefs. I'm just saying, for me, what has been the tools to my success is that I'm constantly asking God to work through me and make me anew. And, you know, spiritually, we can go to any scripture, we can go and study, but I believe my testament is surrounded by doing the work. And for me, doing the work is just breaking it down to the basics. But back to this story, I need to learn to control my anger. I need to learn to master my emotions. I need to practice this as often and consistently as possible until it becomes second nature. I'm driving on an afternoon recently, within this last week, driving my car. I cut the radio off because I'm meditating. I'm checking out the nature. I'm breathing in fresh air. And I get to a light that turns yellow in my lane. And I wanted to turn left onto the following thoroughfare. And behind me is a car that's rushing to get through this yellow light. So I moved through, and I turned immediately into my left lane. And this car, because he got caught by the red light and chose to run the red light, zoomed around me. He rolled down his window. He gave me this scowl on his face. He began to shout expletives at me. And, of course, you guys know he threw up the finger. He threw up the hand. And Dr. Dunlap, it was such a surreal experience for me, because I have seen this a million times before. I myself have even been guilty of doing this to other people. I got to be honest. Being in the midst of a road rage, late for whatever appointment, mad at the person surrounding me because they're not moving as quick as I want them to move, then I call them crazy and that they don't know how to drive. You know how to play the tape through. Well, in this particular moment, I used my tools. I said, I love you, my brother. I bless you, my brother. I pray for safety and peace on your life. May God surround you with an abundance of blessings, and that this moment vanish and never be seen again, and that you go and be in wellness with God. And you guys, I use those tools. When I tell you, I felt a million percent better. I felt free. Now, you know, the first thing we think of when somebody cuss at us or throw us a bad sign, we want to say, hey, you don't come up on me with that foolishness. But I tried something different, and it was a huge payoff, Dr. Dunlap. It was an astronomical payoff. Immediately, I felt tension leave my body. I wasn't angry with this young man. I was able to pray for him with an honest heart. And it changed something in me at that very moment. Now, will I potentially have an adverse conversation in the future? It could be. Am I cured by this one act of trying to practice a different, more loving spiritual approach? I believe it's a starting point. And because I was able to properly execute and the reward was so incredibly fulfilling that I said, this is something that I want to do every day for the rest of my life, most especially in the workplace when people are rude, mean, and uncaring. I had to ask myself, this young man is angry, not at me, because I could have been in any other vehicle on the road. He's hurt because of something. He's in pain because of something. He's in fear, or he's frustrated. But none of those expressions of emotions were necessarily directed at me. So learning how to control that emotion on that particular day was just a million percent payoff for me. I don't know if anybody can identify with where I'm at in this process, but it was such a fulfilling, I can't express fulfilling or nurturing or loving or passionate love of God that just came over me in that moment. Not necessarily that this young man will ever even know that I prayed for him, but because I know that there's an alternative to that ugliness that is so much more fulfilling, that is where I chose to operate from. And it's been with me all week. I've made a conscious commitment that whether I drop the ball or not, this is the lane I want to be in, and that I'm going to keep moving forward in that area. Because I had jotted down some notes, but it says if you want to change, with or without the effort, you're creating your history. So if you want to make a new future, you got to be willing to do new things and make different choices. And that's a choice that I'm choosing to make different on today. And I came from, I was studying in the book of Psalms 6 and 9. The Lord has heard my supplication and the Lord has received my prayer. And in studying, what I learned from that is that if you ask, you shall receive. And praying doesn't necessarily change God. The praying changes me. You know, the prayer changes the fact that I am now more confident in my empowerment, in my responsibility, and my accountability. So I can pray without ceasing. As a child, I thought prayer without ceasing meant to always be in the kneeling position, always be in the posture of prayer, you know, and to be like a solemn, unexciting lifestyle. But now I know that prayer, or I believe it to mean prayer without ceasing, for me is just a constant communication and communion with God. And I felt really good about that. Now, there are 10, Dr. Dunlap, notes that I have taken, and I wanted to dwell into that on the power of controlling your emotions. Did you have any feedback in that area this morning, this afternoon?
Well, I think it's a very good topic that you're bringing to the table, the power of controlling emotions. And a lot of times it's commonplace. especially within the church, especially within my church. You know, I'm big on being specific about my, where people get emotional, and sometimes their emotions overrides their necessity, or belief, it appears to be, for prayer. Or they get so emotional that they get a feeling based upon what is said by somebody, such as, you need to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the opposite side of the spectrum, where the only thing that they do is to say that I'm praying about it, or I've prayed about it, or leave it at the altar. Okay, that's not the solution for everything, leaving it at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's some faith prayer that has to be enacted with some works in order for that prayer to be manifested. Our God is the type of God that he can do anything. He has the ability to make things happen without us even praying about it. However,
yeah.
If you decide to pray about it, then you got to know that this is not something that we always are at this place where we're in the right relationship with God anyway. So I'm looking forward to to hearing some of these points. And if you don't get through all 10 and it looks like time starts to run out, then always know we got the next couple weeks for people
Absolutely.
To meditate on the ones that you are able to give them today. So I just encourage all the listeners that's out there to press one. And when you come up on the switchboard as having a question or a comment, something that's on your heart, then you can get into this conversation and we can make this a very constructive dialogue. So just continue on with the good works, Kim.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know one of the habits, I spoke on habits, and it's definitely a, I don't know if I could call it a beginner's track, but I really found it most beneficial is that I had such a huge support team that encouraged me to just start with the simple stuff. You know, we have a tendency to overcomplicate things, whether it be physically, spiritually, or mentally. We want to go from pre-K to graduation day. And really, you need to start with the fundamentals. And fundamentally, for me, it was suggested and has been, again, paramount in my recovery process to start and end each day with three simple things. And this sounds so elementary, we overlook it. Number one, start each day with prayer. Two, start each day with gratitude. And three, start each day with hydration. That's right, prayer, gratitude, and water. And the first time I heard that, I said, this is foolish. You know, I'm trying to get my life together, and I want to get healthy. I want to lose this weight. And these people telling me all I need to do is wake up and pray. I pray every day. I'm grateful, and I drink plenty of water. But you have to operate in intent. You have to operate with a passionate intent to change habits. So I was skeptical and probably a little pessimistic, but I started the process. Every day I wake up, I pray. My prayer is generally that of gratitude. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a restful sleep. Thank you for waking me up. I'm grateful. And then I get up. Instead of me grabbing a cup of coffee, I drink the water first. The body is 90% water, and we don't realize how important it is to take the body back to the natural state. Breaking the fast is not grits, eggs, and toast. It is breaking the fast. You break it with hydration. So I was skeptical. Yeah. Breaking the fast. You got to break it. So when you break it, if you put water in your system, every organ, everything in you begins to come to life. It begins to operate at the degree that it was originally intended. And you start to feel better and think better. And you do the same process right before you go to bed. Prayer, gratitude, and hydration. If you just practice those three things, I promise you that middle part of your day will miraculously begin to change. And I didn't realize, or I didn't take note of how things were just falling into place. Because first of all, let me say this, Dr. Dunlap just spoke on it. God is going to do what God is going to do with or without our commitment, with or without our involvement. It is what it is. But because we are conscious of the gift of life and conscious of our accountability for life, when you start to get active in your life and do the simple things, just amazing things happen. I know there's a slogan or saying that do small things in a great way, and that is so incredibly true. So my nugget for today for anyone that's listening is start and end each day with prayer, gratitude, and hydration. Try that for 7 days. If you can't do a full 30, try a full 7 and watch how the manifestation of change begins to come forward in your life. Improvement and change. But I wanted to move forward, Dr. Dunlap and Mama. I wanted to move into my 10 key nuggets. And I know that in the moment when the young man cut me off, I don't know what stage he was in, that hurt, pain, fear, frustration. It could have been all of them. I don't know. It wasn't for me to know. But I have learned that for me to respond in a negative state would have been the presence of my ego, E-G-O, easing God out, or either erasing God out. You know, I'm praying, I'm asking God to make me this new person, to fulfill me with a calm, loving spirit. And the first opportunity that I have to show what I'm learning, I decide to cuss boyfriend out. You know, that is not where I choose to be. I've got to learn something different. I've been doing that forever with negative yield. I don't want to continue there. And I learned not to erase God or ease God out. And, you know, I think when the first one that we'll talk about is forgiveness, learning to forgive people. And learning to forgive. People are where they are. And again, it's not necessarily directed towards us. It's easy to forgive people when they are loving and kind and seemingly unknowing. But when we believe that people know better and that they should be held to a standard of doing better, we choose to step back and not forgive because we think it is harming them. But it is not. It hinders our spiritual, physical growth when we choose to operate in unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness doesn't mean that I will invite you back to manage my account after you stole $100,000. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that I won't pursue reimbursement or whatever that is. It just means that I remove the heaviness from my heart. I don't want to carry that heaviness in my heart for not forgiving you. Now, this is something that's new to me, and I need a lot of tutelage in this area. I need a lot of tutelage, and I'm speaking it out into existence because I want to master the spiritual art of forgiveness. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Thank you.
Kim, let me, I've already posted to the Facebook page those three tools that you gave everybody, starting and ending each day with prayer, gratitude, and hydration. And the way I took it was when we get to the end of our day, let's go backwards.
Oh, wow.
Let hydration be that thing that we do before the gratitude. And then the gratitude leads us into the prayer. Because sometimes it only makes sense for us to be grateful for something and to express gratitude, especially through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take a minute to think about what is it that I'm able to offer my gratitude back to the Creator.
Mm.
And something very, very simple, as water, when you sitting up there drinking water, when you wake up in the morning, when you said that, mm-hmm. I got my big old Yeti that my daughter got me for Valentine's Day, one of them got me, and I keep it all the time. I take it everywhere. I just got back off, you know, out of town, and I take it on a plane and drink it while I'm using this thing everywhere. I was in Miami. It's 500 degrees down there, so it was a good thing that I had a Yeti where I didn't have to stop and buy water all throughout the day as I was out for 8 or 9 hours. I was able to fill it up and keep it going. And so I can see myself being very, very grateful and having a heart of gratitude just for water.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm drinking the water, my heart is inclined to a place of gratitude. And let me tell you why, and again, why it's at that place. Because water is a expensive commodity right now in the Houston area.
Mm.
Several people was charged and charging or had purchased, and some people were charging $100 a case, as it was reported, for water. So for you to be able to sit in your home, on your job, out at the movies, go by a convenience store, go by the Walmart, Winn-Dixie, or whoever, and to be able to pick up a bottle of water or pour water from your spigot, that's enough to be to have gratitude right there.
Amen. Amen.
Because there's a whole bunch of people that just don't have it. Again, your topic today is the power of controlling emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I think about that, controlling my emotions is making sure that I don't get myself all puffed up, that this is something that God is supposed to do for me.
Oh, yes, that's good.
So I think what you've given, before, I mean, even as you deal with forgiveness, just those three things, I'm going to tell you, I'm the next week, you got it. You got it. And I want people to help me be accountable by saying,
mm-hmm.
I've done that. Did you pray? Did you pray? Give that gratitude or think on how grateful you are, and then drink your water when you woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Did you do it when somebody meets? I got a meeting in the morning with somebody. Hey, did you do that last night? Did you do it again this morning? We have to help each other, as you said, be accountable. And so if there's nobody being accountable, you think about it. How does it affect everything else? If you can't pray, if you can't show a heart of gratitude, if you can't even drink water to get your body going,
mm-hmm.
here's what happens. Then there become so many more prayers that you're asking other folks to pray for you because your stuff mm-hmm. not right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So everybody mm-hmm. who's listening, those who are decided not to listen right now, those who are listening to this through the replay or the archives, I'm telling you, God doesn't send the same boat 3 and 4 times just because we want it. So this is going to help some folk get really, really healthy, and it's going to be so much so where it's going to affect their wealth in a positive way, because they're going to realize after they do this as a continual thing that later on down the road, their body is not breaking down.
Amen.
Or their body has an opportunity to be restored through some bad habits, through some bad eating habits or drinking habits or smoking habits. And now you're doing something to change the nature of your body.
Yeah.
And God will work that thing, I'm telling you.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And
yes.
Speaking of water, my husband, his name is Wayne. Wayne gained a lot of weight. And some of the ladies out here was telling me, even before I moved here, that he did not have a stomach at all. but, you know, they would see him bring in cases of Pepsi. So I make a long story short, I know that he needed to drink water, so I stopped buying Pepsis, and he's drinking water, more water now. And in the beginning, it was some work because, you know, there was resistance there because his body used to Pepsi, you know. And but now, from I'm saying maybe 2 liters a month, I used to buy. When, you know, he was mm-hmm. up and he would buy. We're down to now no more than 2 a month. And everything else he drinks is water.
Wow.
And now he's and I give him juice. And now he drinks it. He doesn't fight me on it. And, you know, and in the beginning, as time was going on, I began to see, oh, gee, because he would just drink like half the bottle. You know, but now I see he drinks the whole bottle. And then he'll ask me, he says, is there any more water? So, and it blesses me, too, because I drink water, too. But it's just mm-hmm. when you're on the same page, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference, you know. Something else I want to just comment on here when you talk about anger. And I was thinking about, you know, we all been through some hurt and pain, fear and frustration. But the way you put it is that, because of the pain in my body and the swelling and the et cetera, all the symptoms and things, you know, when I get up in the morning, you know, it takes me a while to just sit up in the bed and those things of that nature. I tell you, I get angry at myself. And I believe my problem is that I cannot forgive myself. You know, when I was told many times about, and I have spoken on this before at the PRF table, that I couldn't, you know, I'm losing my train of thought, really just forgive myself because I've been warned over the years, and mm-hmm. now that it's come forth, I'm so angry with myself, you know, and I try not to be angry with myself, and I do believe that that has a trigger here to me not having this peace of mind that I want to have, because although my husband is sick, he cooperates with me 100%. You know, he doesn't give mm-hmm. me any trouble about anything. You know what I mean? When it comes to his health and the things that taking his medicine, you know, I make sure he does that. And I can be peaceful. What is my problem? It's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. See, and it seems as though I lay there and I wake up and oh my gosh, I'm going to practice this because when I wake up, you know, I have a prayer line that I'm on 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And I was just felt so bad. Just moving is an issue sometimes, you know. And so I've not done that. So when you said 5 o'clock, I mean, when you say start your, I said, well, gee, I can just get on the prayer line and we pray for an hour, you know.
Uh-huh.
You bring your petition and we all get together. You don't have to say names, you know. You can just say a request and. For a person, so you don't have to name names or anything like that. And so we pray for a whole hour for different situations, you know. And it seems as though I've lost my passion, you know, for not only that, but I'm even losing my passion. You know, I have to just make myself. And I see the time, I love to study, but I've lost my passion to really just execute the things that I know that I need to do, that I know that works for me. You know, I was laying there and I was just hurting so bad, and the Lord was speaking to my heart, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And I just felt mm-hmm. my heart just beating. Now, there's nothing going on. Everything's fine. But here I'm laying in the bed with my heart just beating, you know, and he's speaking to us, let not your heart be troubled. And he says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Let your heart not be troubled. And it seemed like he kept speaking that to me. And then after a while, I started saying it, you know, quietly to myself, let not your heart be troubled. You don't have anything to fear, you know. You don't know worry. You know it's a sin to worry. So I started ministering to myself. And then I eventually went on off to sleep. So this is this subject here, the power of controlling your emotions, that's really where I've had problems with. But and I thank God for this show, and I thank God for, you know, my son allowing, you know, you to have this platform, because, you know, it's really a blessing. It's going to, not just to me, but I know if anyone's listening, and like you said, we have to be accountable. We have to be disciplined, you know, and so it just seemed like I'm not disciplined. You know, you know, I have my Bible sitting out there, okay, I read my Bible, but, you know, okay, I got to do this, I got to do, you know, just like I'm in a state of frustration, you know,
yeah.
But now I have work to do. I don't have to be frustrated. And another thing you said about your past, you know, me forgiving myself, you know, for the mistakes I have made, and just seem like I'm tormented with that. You know, if you had done this, this would not happen. If you, you know, have really invested your money, you know, you work for AT&T, they had so many investments, and I have to just fight that on a constant basis. And I said, my gosh, why is all this coming up? And I'm just fighting in my mind all the time, and just, trying to ignore the thoughts, and then I pray, and then, you know, just a whole bunch of confusion. And I know that God is not out of the confusion, so I know it's me. And I know, just, and it's not something that, of what you're saying, that I don't know, you know, because I've taken this course of power of choice, and that's a very powerful course. And it talks about things of this nature, so it's not like I don't know. But see, it doesn't matter how much knowledge a person has. If it's not applied, it means nothing.
Yeah. You know, Mom, you said so incredibly much, and it really touched me when you said learning to forgive myself. I know myself personally, and I'm sure we have callers that can identify. We can forgive a complete stranger, but when we make mistakes or we fall short, it is such a challenge to forgive ourselves, and it's the same dynamic in forgiving other people applies to us forgiving ourselves, because holding on to unforgiveness is a form of it's a viral cancer, you know.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of work for me initially, because I said, how did I make these poor choices? How did I allow myself to get to this point? How can I expect anyone to take me seriously when I have been so unkind and so unloving to myself? And we sit in that for a moment, but it has been my experience, and I can't remember all the steps that I took to get there, but I remember someone saying that God forgives me, and if I'm confident that God forgives me, then I need to take all the affirmative steps necessary to forgive myself. And it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. Every time we slip up and make a poor choice that doesn't yield the results we anticipated, we immediately want to start beating up on ourselves. I knew you couldn't do that. I knew that wasn't going to work out right. How could you be so slow to think that was going to work? And we go in on ourselves harder than we would a complete stranger. But it holds no nurturing factor to that. And I'm so grateful for this platform, and I'm grateful to you and just the entire village of believers that stand with me, because when we operate on our own devices, we are tend to get back into that self-pity mindset that holds us that rewards us no benefit. And I have this plaque in my office, and it's, I have the power to transform my life, and I read it every day. But the first line, Mama, says, I believe in the absolute goodness of God to transform my life and my affairs. I believe. in the absolute goodness of God to transform my life and my affairs. And flipping over to that accountability piece, I already know it's past a belief system. It is an intuitive knowledge that everything I need is already here. I just need to do the work to get there. You know, I just need to do the work. And you were saying that I know you were mentioning about the Pepsis and your husband buying the cases of Pepsi, and I can identify with that as well. And I wanted to add a little nugget in there. Starting your day and ending your day with prayer, meditation, gratitude, and hydration, it does a series of things. Number one, it opens the body and the mind up to start receiving and doing and operating differently. But that middle portion throughout the day, Mama, what it does is the body starts desiring those things. When you replace a bad habit or an old habit with a better or new habit, what happens is your body starts becoming acclimated with those habits. So during my day, I automatically and intuitively know I'm thirsty, I want water. Now, will I have a beverage or a cup of coffee throughout the day? Absolutely. If I desire it and it's attainable, I'll do that. But the first thing that comes to mind is water. So what happens is you're constantly cleansing and hydrating your body with something so simple, but something so nurturing as water. It's like when the car runs hot, we don't automatically go pour whatever fluid in the car. The car desires water. It wants to be clean. And that has been so simple. And I guess what I'm saying is we hold the power to transform our entire life just by practicing and doing new measures. But, you know, when I started out with the forgiveness piece, Mama, I was automatically thinking, and you reeled me right back in, I was automatically thinking the power of forgiving other people.
Yes.
When really, you know, charity starts at home. We need to fix this thing in us. We need to learn how to quit beating ourselves, because for real, I worship and I study amongst a group of truth students, you know, learning our true calling and nature within the body of God. And, you know, God don't make mess. He just don't. He don't make mess. Every one of us is so powerful and beautiful and just, you know, uniquely made, and we are all of that. No matter what physical shortcomings we perceive that we have, God does not make mess. So what we practice on a regular basis is feeding ourselves with that truth, with those positive affirmations. And I do that on a regular basis, and it doesn't feel normal, Mama, in the beginning. It does not feel normal. Kimberly, you are beautiful. Kimberly, you are smart. Kimberly, you are a trailblazer. Kimberly, everything you touch turns to gold. Kimberly, you are empowered with the gifts of the Spirit. None of that felt normal for me. None of it. I just felt so awkward. I thought that somebody might be listening, may assume that I'm crazy. And, you know, it was challenging in the beginning. But now I cannot walk past the mirror without saying, thank you, God. Ooh, that girl is all of that. Won't he do it?
All right. Yes.
You know what? It teaches you the power of forgiveness within yourself. It teaches us. And I know you've heard the expression, I am the first example of how I choose the world to treat me. I exemplify the first example of how the world is to treat me. So if I don't know to treat myself really, 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 really good, how is anyone else to know to treat me really, 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 really good?
That's right. That's good.
Yeah, they're going to treat you like you treat yourself. So practicing those affirmations, You know, and forgiveness for me, it's a learn. I'm definitely in the midst of a learning curve, because the defense to protecting my body, mind, and spirit, I can come off a little overly aggressive. I can come off unloving and unkind. And I don't want to be that. So I'm learning to stand in my truth and say, I will not allow you to disrespect me. I will not allow you to bring hurt or harm to my body, my mind, or my spirit. I'm learning to do this in a loving, kind, nurturing way, because the familiarity that I have with getting somebody told is not is not nurturing for either of us. You know, I heard someone say recently, I had never heard it expressed this way before, but it's called the projectory. When I curse somebody out, Mama, it's called that the wilderness. You know, when we speak of the wilderness, or when we speak of spiritual wilderness, the wilderness is an undisciplined, uncultivated area. It's a discipline or uncultivated season, and it's a season of darkness or challenge or adversity. So when we speak of cursing someone out, you're going through a wilderness of the mind. Because my mind is undisciplined and uncultivated, the first thing that comes to my mind is to curse you out with expletives and aggressive nature and aggressive posture. And what purpose does that serve? That is something. Yes, we learn how to do it, snapping the neck, rolling the eyes, popping the fingers. You know, I got him told. No, you didn't. Yes. You just executed a wilderness moment, an undisciplined, uncultivated moment. Because you lack the ability to communicate your hurt, your pain, your anger, your frustration, your fear, you just don't know how to convey it appropriately. And you didn't prove anything. So those things, those are things that it is imperative that we make a commitment to work towards and for the better. Because when we constantly dwell off in those areas and keep, Dr. Dunlap refers to it as peeling the onion. When you keep peeling the onion and you keep peeling the onion, you've got more layers. And you know, Mama, when we peel an onion, you're going to have some scratchy moments. You're going to have some tears moments. You might have some moments where your face swell up. You're peeling onions. It's not necessarily a process, but we got to peel the onion. And I am just, you know, going back to the forgiveness speak, we have to start operate with using intentional language. You know, using intentional language, how we speak makes all the difference. How we speak, using intentional language. And the first start with forgiveness for me was, Kimberly, God forgives you, and therefore I will forgive you. You are made in his image and likeness, but it is cognizant of the fact that you will make mistakes. And because you are cognizant of the fact that it is a mistake, is enough reason right there to forgive yourself. You know, Mama, if you just kept riding around the same block in circles looking for this address that is nowhere on this street, if you kept riding that same block over and over and over again and knowing that you should be doing something different, you know, it's time to do something different.
Yes.
So I am just so incredibly grateful. I really, really, really am. And it moves us into the forgiveness, and I think we touched on it, but it moves into the love piece. Forgiveness, number one, love, number two. You know, scripture tells us to love our neighbor as thyself. It doesn't say whether your neighbor is Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish. It doesn't say that. It just says love thy neighbor as thyself. So despite the fact whether we agree with their culture, their upbringing, their religion or lack of religion, their sexuality or identity, it doesn't say any of that. It just says learning to love. Love, love, love. And the young man that cursed me out on the road the other day, I really felt a genuine love, empathy, and compassion for this young man just because I had enough education to know that he is and he isn't at fault. He is and he isn't at fault. Because when you know better, you know you do better. So maybe he doesn't know that his anger is an outward expression of hurt, pain, fear, and frustration. He obviously doesn't know that. Maybe he doesn't know the value of learning to cultivate and discipline the mind. He may or may not know that. I don't know. But because I know it, you know, because I know it means that I can execute something different. He may never get it, but I don't have to practice anger, outwardly expressions of wilderness of the mind. I don't have to convey unforgiveness or lack of love because I've already been educated and I'm in school in them processes. So, I'm learning. And that's why I open and close every week with saying I am a student. I am in learning for my truth. I want to learn and execute this flawlessly for the remainder of my life. And I feel so much better as a direct result of this. If you allow me to, Mom, I have another quick story I wanted to share that was really, really, really cute. I have a friend. Her name is Kim as well. And for 20 years, I have been in marvel at the way this woman is so articulate. She's so loving. She's so kind. She is just a trailblazer and a powerhouse of love, kindness, forgiveness, and professionalism. Even when she's angry, she's in the process of trying to figure out and work out solutions that will be towards the betterment of everybody. And I have just been in awe at how she does this. Well, she had a surprise for me my birthday week. She wanted to take me to a concert. Not only did she treat me to a concert, she treated me to a shopping spree. So I'm like a little girl bouncing around the store. I'm so excited. And, you know, I am excited. I got my jewelry and my clothes, and she's in line. She told me to run off and get something else. So I bounced back. I jumped in front of 10 people in line to get back to her. I'm just excited. And when we get to the register, the young lady that was waiting on us was not in a good mood. And she rolled her eyes. She was gritting her teeth. She was not customer savvy at all. Now, you know, I'm a student now. I'm in elementary. I'm still learning this process. The first thing came to my mind is snap my neck, roll my eyes, and get at her. But before I could say anything, Kim says, "You are the best customer professional in the world. Every time I come to this store, I look for you to be my assistant because you are absolutely the best. What's going on? Are you having a bad day?" And this young girl burst into tears, Mama. She at the register and started crying in that moment. She says her management team is being very cruel and insensitive to her, and as a result, she's been taking it out on her customers. She didn't realize she was doing it, but Kim was able to identify that she was having this moment. She says she touched her. And she said, "Sweetheart, I can't change what's going on in this environment, but I can encourage you that you are a customer service professional. Whatever it takes in you right now to pull yourself back into that arena, don't let them take the better things about you from you because they choose to be mean." And it takes us back to this young lady. Her anger was an outward expression of her hurt, her pain, her fear, her frustration, or all of the above. It taught me in that moment, Mama, to get rid of that sister girl, hand on her hip, neck rolling, eyes rolling scenario. It serves no purpose. It rewards no positive yield. And I would have missed an agape truth-building moment if I had come at that girl like that. I learned in that moment that I will learn to master my emotions, and what people do outwardly has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. It is all a direct result of that uncultivated, undisciplined. It's a wilderness. It's a wilderness that they may or may not be aware of, lack of communication skills, whether it's a lack of testimony to know that there are better ways to do this thing. But I think that I've gotten 1,000,000% better, even when I find myself frustrated, to start finding a way to channel a better energy within myself, because there is no positive reward in doing it a negative, adverse way. Mama, this has been an amazing day. I was concerned.
Yes.
I had, you know, we're getting the, here in Georgia, we're getting a little rain and wind and a few power
outages.
I was having some technical issues, and I said, okay, Kim, calm down. Find a way to speak to this storm, because you will be on Your Health is Your Wealth today at 2 o'clock. And I just want to thank all of the callers that came on today, because this is an amazing platform where we strongly encourage interaction, audience interaction. We meet the first and third Friday of every month at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you ask, how does mastering your emotions impact your health and your wealth? And we believe here at the Health is Your Wealth platform that when you have a healthy vessel, spiritually, mentally, and physically, that all of the dreams and aspirations that you aspire come from a season of discipline and cultivation. So here is a platform where we spiritually discuss matters that impact us, so that we can strive to build a commitment to consistency and execution. Your health is your wealth. And if you are interested at all in contacting me outside of this platform, I'm at Kimberly Silas, S-I-L-A-S, at Facebook.com. And also I am on Twitter at Kimari, K-I-M-A-R-I, Sunshine, Kimari Sunshine, at Twitter.com. And just inbox me. And the number here, of course, you have it, is going to be, Mama, I am so poor with this number. I know it's the 347. 347. Okay, I'm in trouble now. It will probably be easier if we go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PRFTable, T-A-B-L-E. And I hope Dr. Dunlap isn't listening, because I don't have my number in front of me, my 347 number. Oh, my goodness. Mama, do you know it offhand? Thank you guys so incredibly much. It's been an amazing opportunity. We